Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Veryankara Bhavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishabhai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so we are on the chapter 7, and we did the company of non-devotees, right? That was the last one, no? So any, so far, any questions? Comments on the chapter 7. Okay, which books give sufficient knowledge of Krishna consciousness? If one carefully reads Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and this Nectar of Devotion, that will give him sufficient knowledge to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. One need not take the trouble of reading other books. Nice definition.
What about nectar instruction?
Yes, well, nectar of instruction is sometimes connected also like nectar of devotion, because it's part of it. It's more like a preliminary to the nectar of devotion.
Is this a statement you made before? Prabhupada, he mentioned that we should read the 12 books of knowledge that we are studying.
Well, you see, Prabhupada, he described and defined what does it mean. So don't read too many books. Now, if you do read other book, and it enhances your understanding of your own position, of your how to execute devotional service, then it's beneficial. But if you would read other books, just how to become rasika, and you forget the basic understanding of who you actually are, or what is your position, what does it mean to surrender unto the guru. So then it will be one too many. Prabhupada clearly says, if you read these books, that will give him sufficient knowledge to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. So it is there. Now, do we see it or not? That's other thing. For somebody to see that, to get more into details, then other book may describe that more. But it's not necessary. It may be necessary for us, our conditioning. If we are into Gyan, so we want more knowledge before we actually get the full understanding. For somebody, you can instruct him, you are not this body, you are a soul, you should surrender to the Lord. That person can become devotee immediately. He surrenders. He doesn't need to read anything. He becomes pure devotee on the spot, at that moment. It can happen by association of other devotees, or by hearing the holy name. It can happen. So he gets the full understanding. gets the fluoralization. Now, for us, then we want to also get the fluoralization. So the realization is in these books. In other part, Srila Prabhupada says, okay, so that we should read Jaiva Dharma and Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Then Jaiva Dharma gives you all the, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes it, so then all the cultural exchanges and everything, the Vaishnava culture, all the aspects are written, are described in the book. And Chaitanya Shikshamrita, then all the philosophy is described. So you read these books, you will get full understanding of Vaishnava culture and etiquette. But you see these books, so many things are there. But will you see it when you read it? That's a question. Because we may read the book, but we may get completely different understanding of what's actually the book about. That's why Srila Prabhupada, he writes his books, but he quotes from other shastras. He quotes from Manu Samhita. He quotes from the Sandarbhas. But he puts the quote in the context of what he's trying to explain. So you see it. By his mercy, you see it. He shows you. But there is a good chance, if you would read these books, you will not see it in those books. And you will see probably something else. So that's why, no, the guru, he presents it, he gives it. By his mercy, then we can actually see the point where it is most relevant. So Srila Prabhupada, in his commentaries on Bhagavatam, then he puts all the necessary quotes and everything from the Vedic scriptures or Pancharatri scriptures or others, such a way so then we see it in the context, how it is. So if we are not sure if we should read some other book, then better don't read it. Now, if you see that the book enhances your understanding, but not out of some sentimental point of view, actually, it must be based on Guru Sadhu Shastra, then it may be good to read this book. But it's not that because I read the book, everybody must read the book. Who doesn't read this book is in Maya. It's not. Prabhupada is very clear. Yes?
How about for preaching purposes?
What about preaching purposes?
Well, I mean, how about reading some communication skills or something?
Okay.
I mean, I've noticed you have these videos of really, really good book distributors, and they are clearly using professional sales techniques.
Yes. How long do they work? See, the sales techniques, no. As close as they get to the Vedic understanding of what communication is, then that much successful they will be.
Oh yeah, but now it's, there's four books here.
The ideal communication you have in Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. Krishna wants to get his point across.
Yeah.
Arjuna is stubborn. And Krishna shows you how you can deal with people who are stubborn.
I saw one book distributed. He was trying to distribute a book. He was like going, so how about giving a donation? And then immediately he would change the subject to, oh, so what are you doing on a daily basis? You know, and then he would, I mean, this is clearly some manipulation technique. Would you get that from the Gita?
Well, you see, when Arjuna points something out, then Krishna, refused that. There is a system which is called Panchanganyaya. There's a way how you actually deal. You want to present the point. You see, in all scriptures, Prabhupada uses. So it can be in written form, it can be in spoken form. Basically, you present the little outline of what you want to say. Then you give the arguments, to explain what it is more in detail. Then you argue, what if this? Or just bring a question. You refute the argument. Then you may, from other point of view, other angle, you bring up another, argument to, as a contract. Right? So you have the thesis, then you have the antithesis, then the discussion and conclusion. So then, it's not just one point presentation. It's not from one side. You are seeing it from many angles. So you can have many questions, many point of view. So whatever you think of that you need to present, right? So you may talk about vegetarianism. So you talk, vegetarian is good. Then, you present, what is, okay, why is it good? So, okay, there are some findings that, eating meat, then the mentality changes. It's not good. And, what about, but actually it's healthy. It gives you some substance to the body. Then you may present how actually the humans are not meant to, the digestive system is not meant to digest the meat. It's not connected, it's very similar to the grass-eating animals. And you have many, many points. And then, so once you exhaust from the point of view which you want to present it, so you conclude. So it's full-on presentation. See, the study guide, as we did, it's also similar way. It's basically done with the question and the answer. So if you have similar question, then you may look here and find the answer in the paragraph. Because this is more comprehensive for the mind and for the intelligence. So that's a simple way, just of a presentation. So in the Shastra it is done. There is a psychology behind how you actually make a presentation. So it depends on your audience. Depends on the point of view you are coming from. Depends what you want to gain by it. The audience depends on the age. Depends on gender. Depends on what you... who are they? You cannot have just one thing and you speak without considerations. That will not work. You have to have considerations on what you are going to talk, to whom, and based on that, then you give the presentation. You will have different presentation, say like in the university, to the university students, and different presentation, say like on 10-year-old kids. You have to change the language. You follow?
Yeah, I follow.
So it is there. We don't need to really approach, because these books, which they write about what should be done, how, the techniques and like that, some may be used. But if you don't know the principles of what the technique actually is, where it's coming from and what it's supposed to do, you will not be successful in using the technique.
No. I made it maybe I was unclear.
take the vegetarianism example, you would need to get the information that vegetarianism is healthy or some. I mean, if you're talking to people, carbies on the street, you know, some up-to-date information. Or, I mean, like Prabhupada was talking with this race car driver, and he was talking about cars, you know, these kind of information.
That's okay.
So
that's there, but the technique still stays your own technique. You don't have to apply some self-help book to help you to get across.
It wasn't the self-help portion wasn't so significant. It was more that sometimes I find that I need information that is not
like you can present right. The people jump up and down about butter.
Yeah.
No, they say butter is bad.
Yeah.
Now, why? Oh, they say, because there is the bad cholesterol, and then margarine has the good cholesterol, right? So eat margarine. So, and then a few years after, they say margarine is bad. No, but butter is better. Yeah, we knew it. So we always use butter. We don't use the margarine anyway. Why did they do it? No, the purpose of the whole thing was to market the margarine.
Yes.
It was know that it was bad. They knew it's not good. But they are good in lying. So then they just present it such a way so then people buy it. Like we were saying about the pharmaceutical industry. Now the first five medicines most sold don't cure anything. They just must be used daily until the end of your life. It makes money. So then they will make you buy it, believe it, that you need it. They are good in advertising. Advertising is a science. The company, they spend sometimes even 50% of their revenue for making advertisements. Coca-Cola company spent 50%. I don't know if now, but there was 1 year, 50% went onto the advertisements. They know why. It's a science. It's not the research how to do it, how to present it so people actually get the need. You have to create the need in people to get the product. Otherwise, who cares? I can drink sugarcane juice. I don't need Coca-Cola. But how they put it, the picture, how they put the drops of water, so then it creates the feeling of cooling. So that's a science. Of course, they don't tell you that the same Coca-Cola they use for cleaning the big ships. They to dissolve all the corals and everything was there. Then they just use the concentrate, and then everything falls off. Anyway, so like that, Smoking, before it was very popular, advertisement for the smoking. Now they have to put, it's injurious to your health. But the advertising, it's, we cannot really believe. You don't have to advertise anything which you need. You need rice, you need dal, you need sabji. Do you see advertisements, on rice? Sometimes, yes, you see, basmati rice, get this one. But that's because it's so expensive, no one buys it. So then, but you go to the shop, you buy rice, you buy dal, you buy your sabjis, sugar, salt, whatever you need, spices, and that's enough.
Types of commercials. For things you don't need, this is what we're talking about here, and for things you need, which is basically just to get people to go into that shop. And when they're there, they will buy all the things they don't need there too.
Well,
the things you need, they don't advertise unless they just want to.
But it's when people need something, they do search. They will find out, because if you need something, like say in India, you have to look into, make some phone calls and then go and get it. Yeah. But nowadays they do even advertisements for children. That they figure out this is the best.
Yeah.
Because then the children start bugging their parents, and then they can. They even have. I saw once on the train station, was a mother just carrying baby, right? So I'm just holding her and just walking. There was a guy selling something, so he puts it, comes from the bag and puts it into the kid's hand. So he has it, right? And mother hears something, and so looks and then tries to take it. He starts crying. Okay, how much? No. They are very clever. So we don't have to get into that. We should, first of all, when we approach a person, then the techniques are secondary. Most important is, what is our goal? If we approach a person with, I need to really sell this book because I want to be first, or I need the money, or then the consciousness, it's going to be transmitted. They will understand. So you will unlikely be successful. But if you approach the person with, this is a treasure, and you give the book from your heart, you may not be very eloquent speaker. You may not know very much. You only know that this book really gives the understanding of one's life. Then the people will be touched, and they will just take it, and then they will probably even give you more donation without asking for it. Yes. Well, yes, if it deepens the understanding of our service, it helps us in our devotional service, then yes, it's so if you preach the books, like you are distributing books, you should know what's in the books, definitely. But you should know the essence. You should, and when people ask questions, then you should know how to answer. You may not know, say, Bhagavad Gita, by heart, from the front to the back, but you should know who is it about, who is Krishna, who is Arjuna.
That would be trivia.
Yeah, because then that's of course. But then, if you explain Bhagavad Gita based on your understanding, based on realization, then people would be satisfied. Then, when they get satisfied, they may not have additional questions. But then they will understand that this is a book which they would very much appreciate. So it's all about the approach. If you approach the people as somebody who will need the book, and then you as a messenger who just have the great opportunity to present the book, then you may get very great success in book distribution.
Yes. Also about this quotation, Prabhupada, they will give sufficient knowledge to understand the science of Krishna. I sometimes understood that, like, if you understand the principles in these books, right? That's all you need to perform everything.
Yes.
But if eventually another book can give information to support that, that's not a problem.
That's what we said.
Yeah.
You see, you read Bhagavad Gita, and if you understand the Bhagavad Gita, then you get the perfection. Srimad Bhagavatam just deepens that. Srimad Bhagavatam will be more, no, it shows more into Vrindavan, 10th canto. So, it gives more rasa. But the tattva will be the same. It's explained in Bhagavad Gita. It's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, then we get more of the understanding of how do devotees relate to the Lord. Then we may also get the understanding of what is actually our position. How would we want to relate to the Lord? So you are absorbed in the pastimes of the devotees, how they are performing their pastimes with the Lord. So then it gives you more view that you are not alone. There are many devotees around. They are doing various activities. There are 9 processes of devotional service, and they are engaged in each of them. And then teaching Lord Chaitanya, then his preaching is the chanting of the holy name is the best. This is the Yuga Dharma. And then why? And then he explains the whole explanation of what he does, his pastimes, his devotees, his lila. So from that, then you can understand the various moods, various rasas. That's because the jiva needs the understanding of what rasa is. The tattva is not sufficient. Just tattva is not sufficient. Just to know I'm the servant of the Lord, then that will not help you. It's a good beginning, but it's beginning. You need to understand, I am the servant, but what is the mood of serving? What is the taste of serving? How do I serve? How does Krishna get pleased? What pleases him? What should I serve? Which way? So that's the rasa. So that way, then you get the understanding. Yeah? Can spiritual master accept unfit disciple? One who has accepted the sannyas order of life is forbidden to accept as a disciple anyone who is not fit. A sannyasi should first of all examine whether a prospective student is sincerely seeking Krishna consciousness. If he is not, he should not be accepted. However, Lord Chaitanya's causeless mercy is such that he advised all bona fide spiritual masters to speak about Krishna consciousness everywhere. Therefore, in the line of Lord Chaitanya, even the sannyasis can speak about Krishna consciousness everywhere, and if someone is seriously inclined to become a disciple, the sannyasi always accept him. Yeah, so, again, the mood is important. The disciple must be willing. There must be some dynamic willingness that one wants to become serious in Krishna consciousness. And he may be aspiring of the disciple of some spiritual master. Now, the spiritual master, when he sees that there is a serious, that he's sincere. And if he sees comfortable that he can actually bring up the disciple, that he can take him farther in his spiritual development, then he may accept him. Before, it was quite much more strict. Before then, the tradition would be that the disciple would be just doing menial services for at least a year, and not being taught anything, No, just doing menial services, and many times not even just being neglected. So only those who would be really serious about progressing, then they would be able to stay. So those who would pass that, then they would be then accepted as the disciples and then taught the devotional, the progress, process of devotional service. Yes? No, that's
before
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like, this is a traditional way, so like the Vedic knowledge, how it's being given. Because the sincerity must be seen, the character must be seen. So the character you see from how steady one is in his menial service as a brahmachari. So from that you can understand if he is qualified or not. So if he is qualified, then yes, he should get the chance, and then he will. But if he is not, then because it's so, actually so difficult, then he will naturally, drift off. But then,
A nice system, a very natural selection.
Well, yes. But
there's
then,
no demand on the guru to increase his mission, so he was there.
Yeah.
Happy.
But then, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then everybody can get a chance. Yeah. Is reading of many books and constructing temples favorable? A bona fide spiritual master has no business reading many books simply to show his proficiency or to get popularity by lecturing to different places, in different places. One should avoid all these things. It is also stated that a sannyasi should not be enthusiastic about constructing temples. However, if someone comes forward to offer some service, he should encourage the building of temples by such servitors. No, so like Rupa Goswami, he also wasn't enthusiastic. He didn't go and collect to build Govindaji. No, just the king, right? Just he offered, and then then just do it. So he may encourage, but he doesn't get involved in all the management or all the processes, how to do it. He may advise. He advises, build it here. No, it should face this way. No, it should be this shape. It should, inside should be this big temple room. No, so then he gives advice because he knows how Krishna wants it. But then how many laborers will be there? How much money is to be collected? And all these details that he is not really worried about. He gives it to somebody who actually wants to do it. Because the person who is interested, he is inspired to do it, he should be behind the whole construction, because that's very likely that it gets done as quick and as nice as possible. Because it's based on his inspiration. And the spiritual master, he just inspires him to do that. Because him performing that as a service, then he will get purified. So that's the main concern of the spiritual master. He has the potential to build the temple and to collect the Lakshmi for the temple. So then he utilizes the potential of that servitor in Krishna consciousness, and then he will get purified. But the mood must be that he is, even though he's building for Krishna, then once built, it's Krishna's. So, and that may take some time. I don't know if we mentioned that it was that story of the Buddhist monk, yeah? So he also took many times to build a temple, but then he wasn't attached to building a temple, he just, please Guruji, instruct me, where else can I build a temple for you? So then the mood was such that he wants to serve. So the temple, once built, it's offered to the Lord. What Lord does with the temple It's not our really business. We do serve the Lord. If Lord wants to reside in the temple, then He will. If He doesn't want to, He will not. We cannot do anything about it. We cannot, no, start jumping. That, no, I build it for you. You go inside. Now, like in Barshana, and the old temple is getting old. And then there was one rich Gujarati, and then he built, not Gujarati, Rajasthan, yeah. Some king. Well, there is a Jaipur Mandir, they call it. It's right next to it. Nice, beautiful. So then they built it, and then, okay, now we will move, Radharani, into the other temple. The deities wouldn't move. They didn't want to go. So, okay. So, no, not going anywhere. Just staying in the old one. No, it's like that.
So, Vaishnava, the nice building is
the when you're going, when you are going Vaishnava Parikrama, so then once you are coming to Vrishabhanu's temple, so on the way there is very nice marble temple. So that's called the Jaipur Mandir, and that was built for Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Radharani, so to be there. But when it came to move the deities, then they didn't want to go. So it's like that. When you have Ratha Yatra and sometimes Jagannath decides, okay, we will stop here, then nobody can pull. So he has his own will, he has his own wish. And then we can try as much as we can, but we will not do anything about it. The best thing is to try to understand, okay, it's Lord's wish. We should help fulfilling that wish. So if we can do it, then yes, we can get actually understanding of how to serve the Lord. But if we try to push our own, or let's go, time is over. No, you cannot pull Jagannath anyway. No, what will you do? He just wants to stay that night outside, so he will stay outside. And you have to do all arrangements to make sure that he's comfortable. Not that, okay, just forget it. No, you stay here, I'm going home. No. They will not do that. Okay, you want to stay here? So then now we will do all the arrangements for you so it's comfortable for you to stay here. If it rains, then they will make sure he doesn't get wet. The whole night they will be there with him. So he feels comfortable. If it's hot, they will fan him. If it's cold, then they will put chara on him. It's a very personal dealings. He is a person. Like we, sometimes we want to go somewhere, sometimes we doesn't want to go. We don't want to go, right? So, depends how stubborn we are, then somebody can or cannot convince us anyway. So the Lord, He can be the most stubborn if it comes to. So He, if He wants to, He will get His wish through no matter what. If we understand that, that's His wish. So rather than trying to convince Him, oh, don't do it, it's not good. No. Then go with it. But to go with it, then you have to understand that you are the servant. And then you have to understand the mood. Then it's possible.
On a side point, there's a story of a Buddhist monk who built a temple, and he was very attached to the temple. So,
well, yeah.
The description is someone in his subtle body is dead, and he's there still in the temple, trying to take care of the temple, but he's already gone. He's not in this gross body.
Yeah.
But it's showing how attachment is very strong.
Yes.
And when there was, he was attached to the temple. So we're saying here, the description also is not really so.
Yeah, he's doing his bhajan. See, like, no, when the deities of Vrindavan wanted to leave for Jaipur, then just the devotees did all the arrangements, and then, no, they took the deities to Jaipur. Or Dvarakadish. No. He moved to... What's the town's name? Anyway, it's some distance from Dvaraka. And he was just some man. He had some bullock cart, but he was very devoted to the Lord. And then so, Dvarakesh was very pleased with his devotion. So he just took a ride with him. And then once he was at his place, in Dvaraka they figured out that Dvarakesh is not there. So they were looking, and they found him. So then they said, "Oh, you are a thief." "No, I didn't steal. He went with me." You have to give. But then, he wouldn't move. So then, okay, they made a deal, right? So, all right. Now, they thought that they are very clever. So then, what do you have to do? You have to give us... as much gold as Dvarakarish is. Then from that gold we'll make another murti, and then we will install him in Dvaraka. So then they put Dvarakarish on one side, and then on the other side then give everything what they have to offer. So he was poor, he didn't know what to do. The wife gave whatever she had, and of course, it wasn't enough. But then the wife, she had a great idea. So just put a tulsi leaf. So then they put tulsi leaf and immediately went down. Okay, that's yours. So you think, oh no, what we will do now? Oh. And then Dvarakarish, he actually appeared in his form. He said, "Well, I want to stay here." So now you go. And then I think he gave some instruction that you can dig in the ocean somewhere, then you will find another murti and install it, and that will be your Dvarakarish. Or Shakshi Gopal. Now there are so many instances where the Lord has his own wish, and it's all about his devotees. When for his devotees he can break any rule, not do anything, just to get the association of the devotee, because this is what he likes. And he is supreme. He can like whatever he wants. And that's not our business. Our business as devotees is to see that his wish gets fulfilled. So if we try to fulfill the wish of the Lord, and in fact it's two of the spiritual master, then we will be successful. If, on the other side, we try to fulfill our wishes only, then what success will we gain?
As much as it touches Krishna.
Yes. So to the extent we are surrendered to the Lord, to the extent we want to fulfill his wishes, to that extent we will be progressing. And Krishna gives. There are many, many ways how to perform devotional service. If one cannot fully surrender, okay, then perform service. The Nivritti mark. Then if you cannot do that everything for Krishna, then okay, do whatever you need to do and offer the results. And if you cannot do that, okay, at least be pious. Well, that's nothing to do with devotion. Because if you are pious, at least there is a chance that you will get attracted later on. Because pious, at least one doesn't offend the devotees and the Lord. Yeah. How does a devotee become undisturbed by material gain or loss? There is a statement in Padma Purana. Persons who are engaged in Krishna consciousness should never be disturbed by some material gain or loss. Even if there is some material loss, one should not be perturbed, but should always think of Krishna within himself. So you see, sometimes because of dualities, how we think we think gain is good, loss is bad. But very much depends on what we base our reasoning on. Because gain can be as bad as loss. Loss can be better than gain. All depends on the circumstances. So for a devotee, gain is anything done with connection with the Lord. And loss is that when Krishna is not connected in it. It's on this point, this is very, very important actually to understand. For us to understand who we are, then we have to understand how do we deal with dualities. And gain and loss is one of the most important element of our life. Because where do we get inspiration from? There must be gain to do something. We don't do things because we are afraid of loss. So it's all... Nowadays, the whole system, the economical system, runs on this. Because it's done by the Vaishyas. Vaishyas, they are... Gain is good, loss is bad. But when they are not trained, so then their view will not be dharma, but purely gain or loss. If they gain and others die, that's not a problem. But if they would lose, but they would save somebody, they wouldn't do that. And you see like that, oil spill, right? So then, because they are drilling so deep in the ocean, they are the pressure is so great, they cannot really do properly. Okay, and then mistake happens, and then it starts. And they don't care really for much for their security, which they are supposed to have. They cannot close it, or 6 months, or how many months it was running. So many, millions of barrels of oil escape. It's polluted now. And so they were discussing, okay, let's stop drilling below certain depth. Now, the people who have money in that, so they stopped it. They said, no, we will drill. Because they have the money, they do. So the government is not independent. The government depends on those who have money. Because this is how the economic situation is, how it was set up. So it's not on, not even justice, what to speak of dharma. It's about who has the money.
This man of gain and loss, many times Krishna pedagogically takes something out of the way. And I think the ability to see how Krishna is operating to actually enhance a superior gain seems to be very important, but because many times we get confused with, it takes something which is very dear, which we already have. I've seen many times uncertainty. A lot of time taking that money.
It can. You see, not like point of, Abhimanyu. No, Abhimanyu gets killed. Whose fault is this? Of course, Krishna is always with us, so we can blame Krishna, right? He's there. So you can... Arjuna was fortunate he had Krishna, so then Krishna gave him the understanding. But Abhimanyu had some time to spend on the earth, and then, he could have gone back. It wasn't a great place to be here anyway. So he fulfilled his mission, and then that's it. So and that the way how to get out of here is just to die. So that was his, and that's how he ended. But he ended as a hero. Duryodhana, ended differently, right? But, we perceive it because of our attachment, and again the dualities. How do we perceive when Ganga Devi was drowning her children? She is a rascal mother. She should be killed. Right, so then where is the law? Who knows the law? What is the law based on? There was somebody who knew, who had understanding. These are souls who are supposed to be just born as a punishment and go back. Sorry?
It was a blessing.
Yeah, so that's the understanding. Before, when the Brahmanas would do sacrifice, they would sacrifice the animal, and the animal would get higher form of life. Would be a blessing for the animal. Now they say they sacrifice, but they are killing only just to eat the meat. That's nonsense. Because it's Kali Yuga. So that's not permitted. So now where is the law? Who makes the law? So it is the law. Now the law is money. Money becomes God. Who has more power, can do anything what they want. So they play God. But you see what's happening? Now in Europe now they have one of the coldest winters ever. They had very hot summer. So this is generally in places where, desert is going to become. So who knows what's going to happen with the place. Whose fault is that? Of course God's, right? You blame him. But what do we do with the nature? How do we care? We are only taking, and then how long is Bhumi Devi going to handle it? Putting all the garbage, in her. The situation is coming very close to the same situation when Krishna came to kill all the demons. Sometimes it's difficult. But what is the other option? If we don't surrender, see, Krishna generally don't take everything from the devotee unless the devotee is ready. Because if he does, he knows he will not appreciate it. So it will take him away from devotional service. So he won't do it. But sometimes it may happen based on some other considerations. But when the devotee is ready, Krishna can just take everything And then that's his blessing. In fact, Krishna, in the 10th canto, he says that the devotee who is suffering, I take everything from him. And because of I take from him, then he becomes poor. He becomes poor, his relatives give him up, his friends, and everybody get lost, I don't want to see you. That's Krishna's special mercy. Krishna declares it himself. He says, this is my special mercy. Do we perceive it as a special mercy? Right, he will be ready. If he is not ready and he will just lament, now what is this, why Krishna, why are you doing this to me, he will not do it. He can only do it to such a devotee who is able to surrender. So Krishna is very careful, he is very sensitive. But we should see to it how we actually reciprocate with the Lord. So ultimately, Atmanivarana should be our goal. Because only when we fully surrender, then we can understand what is our position. What is the mood? What is our Swarup city? If we maintain the attachments to the material world, and be, as Prabhupada said, even the attachment to one rasgulla, can you keep in the material world? It's quite severe. We still have a lot of work to do.
Considering this point of Atmanivedana seems to be the most difficult moment that we have to surrender, but at the same time, that's why Krishna reciprocates the most, right? So there is.
See, Atmanivedana can happen in a moment. Why it doesn't? Because we are not secure. We have certain security, we are attached to it. Now, to take Krishna's shelter, everything we have to give up. But that's the moment when you give this up and you don't have the other thing, then you are very afraid of that moment. You have this and you know what it is, you are very familiar with this and you are attached to it. But like going to India, for some it's a nightmare. Here, in America or somewhere, I have everything what I need. Now, I go to work, I get money, I buy. Now I have computer, I have this, I have that, and I feel very comfortable. I want to watch TV. Now, just whatever I want, I have. And then I get sick, I can go to the doctor, I get medicine, and I feel secure. But over there, there is no doctor proper. They are all, natural paths, and who knows how they work. No, there is no signal, there is no current I cannot watch. No, then you feel, should I go? What will I gain? So, but if you make the step, then you come and you see the association of devotees. If you are into the association of devotees, that you will appreciate so much. You will not need any of these. You will forget what you had.
Yes.
Like, there was Rasikananda. He was going for the kirtan with the devotees, and he was so ecstatic. He was walking, there was some poisonous snake just bit him onto his leg. And then he came among the devotees, he was dancing, and the snake was always still bitten, and then he was with the snake. And the devotees saw it, they were aghast. No, just, what is this? No, you have a snake there, no. He was so much in ecstasy, the poison didn't work anyway. So that's the potential of a devotee. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Rama.